What a nice turnout on the last day. Thank you all for coming. My name is Alan Holden. I have the honor of presenting this study conducted by quite a few people who you see up on the screen. Amelie Ramirez is the director of our institute. She's my boss, and I'm giving this presentation for her. Disclosure slide. Of course, I have no financial relationships. I wish I did. I do not. All right. We've talked about the patient navigation and the cancer control continuum. It was a suggestion a few years ago, and posted, adopted by the NCI and posted on their website. It refers to five significant foci in terms of cancer control, including prevention, detection, time from detection to diagnosis, time from diagnosis to treatment, and survivorship. And survivorship includes quite a few things, such as conclusion of treatment or ongoing treatment, adherence to healthcare recommendations, vigilance, quality of life, and palliative care, and other things, I'm certain. This talk today is about a national patient navigation study that we conducted among Latinos in six cities in San Antonio, Texas, and we'll be looking at time from definitive cancer diagnosis to the initial treatment. By initial treatment or initiation of treatment, I'm talking about the first treatment visit. Why Latinos? Our primary emphasis, you might gather, is on Latinos. I'm from Texas. They're one of the largest minorities in the state. In 2012, according to the U.S. Bureau of Census, you see the arrow at the bottom, 17% of the population in the United States were Latino. In 2035, almost a quarter, 23.4%. And by 2060, that proportion will increase to almost a third of the population of the United States. Population or demographic changes aside, this population is characterized by disparities. Disparities being what? Well, it's defined, or it was defined in the U.S. Public Law 2000. Matter of fact, I think I saw navigation or disparities defined in one of the earlier presentations in one of the 2005 public law. Specifically in 2000, U.S. Public Law 106.525, Minority Health and Health Disparities Research Education Act defines disparities as basically an identifiable difference within a subpopulation or minority population in terms of incidence, prevalence, morbidity, mortality, survival rates in the general population compared to the minority population. I also wanted to point out that in the last two slides, we've seen an increasing emphasis on disparities in the Healthy People work. In the Healthy People 2000, there was an overarching goal to reduce health disparities among Americans. In 2010, it was given to eliminate, not just reduce, but eliminate health disparities. And in 2020, the goal has been expanded even further to achieve health equity, eliminate disparities, and improve the health of all groups, all minority groups, all people in the population, constituting the population of the United States. Some examples, graphic pictorial examples of disparities. Here we have stroke, cervical cancer, prostate cancer, different types of ailments or diseases in the population. For Hispanics, I don't know if you can see it. Yes, you can. You can see the lines. I can't see the lines. You notice that the rates of these diseases in Hispanics appear to be higher than in the general population for a couple of diseases, specifically adult onset diabetes, infant mortality, HIV, AIDS, and cervical cancer. Now, that's a good one. Those lines are completely invisible here. We also know that the relationship between health disparities, the quality of care, and health outcomes are all related. In other words, if the outcome of health care ultimately is survival, for example, we know that these are related to disparities, and we know that they're related to quality of care, and that both disparities and quality of care are associated with one another as well as with the actual care received. How do disparities work? They work on the level of a number of important factors. Here in this nice little graph, I've got age, gender, education, income, and so on. We find that populations affected by disparities are also affected by very basic differences in terms of certain factors. Now, consider yourself a member of a Latino group. In this instance, a female, we're talking about breast cancer, a female living in certain circumstances, and you've been diagnosed with cancer. You've been diagnosed with breast cancer. What are you dealing with? You're dealing with a number of issues: transportation, childcare, insurance, which are all related in this hypothetical woman's mind. Not only are they interrelated, but they're also related to ongoing survivor issues, cultural norms, language barriers, and other things. I'm not even going to attempt to name all of these. So that by the time that we're through, consider yourself a patient. You've been diagnosed with cancer, and you've got these. And these are just a very small subset of the kinds of issues that you're dealing with. And this is the population that we work with. And these are the women who, to whom we owe so much, who have told us about the things that they deal with on a day-to-day basis. Cancer patient navigation is one way we hope to overcome some of these disparities. This slide is a nice spider web somebody came up with, and basically it represents a very tangled web of lots of issues that people need to deal with when they've been diagnosed with cancer. Patient navigation, and we've seen this slide before, and Harold Freeman pioneered or developed, I'm not certain that pioneered is exactly the appropriate term, a patient navigation in Harlem, New York, and the purpose, or at least the stated purpose of that navigation program, was to ensure that the underserved minority women in Harlem got prompt access to care screening and monitor, cancer care screening and treatment, pardon me. These are only some of the things that they recognized were going on among the population in Harlem. Patient navigation defined, it's been defined many, many times. It means for providing access to recommended cancer screening services, follow-up diagnosis, treatment in medically underserved populations. It's a very simple definition. Frankly, patient navigation, I suggest, varies depending on the population one is dealing with, the disease one is dealing with, the challenges, barriers faced by the population, and the quality and the adaptive capabilities of the navigators involved. The significance, generally speaking, of patient navigation is it addresses these issues from the healthcare system down to fear, simply fear. We all have that. I don't want to go have that test. They might tell me something which I don't want to hear. One thing that patient navigators do is try to reduce that fear. With a background in anthropology, you need to understand that I'm kind of I'm one of those people with boots on the ground. I like to talk to people. I like to see individuals. I like to see members of the population that we're dealing with, learn their language, and so on and so forth. And I understand this component of fear. And it is partly culturally driven, partly individually driven, and it's certainly something that needs to be addressed along with healthcare system, financial, transportation, cultural biases, language issues, and so on and so forth, and patient navigators, in this case, perform those functions. In the absence of those functions, patients miss appointments. We've seen this happen. Delay cancer care until they're very sick, and it simply can't be delayed any further. Seek alternative treatments, fail to get adequate treatment, and they're simply lost in the system. I don't know how many people have come up to me, literally up to me, and said, I don't know what to do next. I don't know where to go, and I need to get going faster. We conducted the six cities patient navigation study, and six cities referred to, in this instance, Miami, San Antonio, New York, San Diego, San Francisco, and Houston. We each contributed 100 patients initially to this study, for a total, when the smoke cleared, of 480, of whom 109 were unfortunate enough to be diagnosed with cancer. Patient navigation was initiated by either the patients or navigators throughout the period. There were six bilingual Latina navigators, one in each city or at each site, and they performed a number of functions with respect to contacting patients and helping them get through the process. The outcomes that we were interested in specifically in this study that I'm reporting today is the proportion of women who were actually treated, initiated treatment within 30 and 60 days of their definitive diagnosis. Predictors of interest were patient navigation overall and specific patient navigator activities. I need to mention that the navigators were asked to log, keep a journal, a diary, if you will, of interactions with patients every day, all day, and as well as that, to indicate which of 10 different activities they conducted when they interacted with the patients. Those 10 activities are going to be very important later on. They are listed here, from accompaniment to appointments to external resource referral. Methods, we conducted logistic regression for dichotomous outcomes of 30 and 60-day initiation to treatment. Kaplan-Meier Cox proportional hazards analysis to look at the entire curve of treatment initiation. We imposed intent to treat on the entire sample. As I mentioned, there were 109 of these women, roughly proportionally divided across sites. The number recruited into the study was 480. Of the 480, 109, as I said, were diagnosed with cancer. The remainder had abnormal mammograms, and they were not. 42 of the 109 were navigated, 67 were not, and I do not know why. When we initially randomized or placed these women in one group or the other, that more women, more control women, were diagnosed with cancer than not. Demographic characteristics, looking at the controls and the navigated women, were approximately equal with respect to a lot of parameters. One thing that I didn't mention is how these people were recruited into the study. The navigated women were recruited forward sequentially. In other words, if a woman came in and had a mammogram that was abnormal, she was recruited into the study. Otherwise, we recruited controls backwards sequentially, from medical charts. We abstract the data from their medical charts. So we're comparing so-called ongoing prospective patients in the navigated group to retrospective patients in the control group. When we looked at the time overall to initiation of treatment from definitive diagnosis, we immediately saw something was going on with a hazard ratio 1.45 and a P of 0.009. Basically, women in the navigated group their treatment was initiated much faster. When we dichotomized the time into 30 days and 60 days, we found a sizable difference with 69% of the navigated versus 46% of the controls initiating treatment within 30 days, and 97.6 versus 73% controls initiating treatment within 60 days. Patient navigator activities that I described, 10 types of activities that they logged, for up to 10 activities that they logged during each encounter. This is the frequency of these activities. And you can see, for example, translation activities, 61.9% of the encounters apparently involved some degree of translation. Only 16.7% system intervention. And when I'm talking about system intervention, it's almost comical. I'm down to less than 30 seconds, so I'm going to talk like a bee. System intervention could be something like, well, my nurse doesn't like me, that kind of thing. We had to make a call. We had to do something about various situations. All right. Now, of these, we simply looked at activities associated with each initiation of treatment within 30 days. We didn't do 60 days because all but one woman in the navigated group was initiated treatment within 60 days of diagnosis. And we found these four types of services were associated with faster initiation of treatment. The one that was associated most strongly with initiation of treatment in this sample was Spanish-English translation. From this study, several products came out of it. We're rather proud of them. The most important to me is the Patient Navigation Manual, which is a step-by-step guide to how to navigate the Latina breast cancer patient. They can be located at that website. Recommendations regarding patient navigation in this population: be aware of key cultural values, involve family members, very important, and show respect of the Hispanic terms of marianismo and dignidad for cultural values, familiarismo for involved family members, respeto and simpatia for showing respect and modesty at the same time, promote cultural competence of office staff, provide culturally appropriate education materials. You saw some of them earlier on an earlier slide, and ask very open-ended questions. What's going on? You know, sometimes child care is not the real reason that they're not coming for a treatment session or a session with, you know, pre-treatment session with an oncologist. Maybe that's not what's really going on. You've got to talk to them. That's it. Mil gracias. Muchísimas gracias. Thank you very much.